WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And I know it may seem okay right now. It's a little foggy out. 66 degrees, but it's going to get warmer. It's going to get hot and muggy. And then that's going to pretty much be our weather for a while with the 90s coming our way. And here on the program, we love the 90s, but not temperature-wise, no. So we'll work our way through that the best we can. But of course, we'll have all the weather updates for you each hour and actually each half hour during this program. So there is a lot that we can talk about today. Of course, the Karen Reed verdict came down yesterday. I don't think this ends things because there's still going to be a civil suit against her, I am sure. But at least in terms of the criminal charges. Then also yesterday was the walkout of the kids at New Bedford High School. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I tried to reach out to one of the co-organizers last night, but apparently when she called my office, it got transferred through. I thought I had her number. It got transferred through. And apparently it only... on my phone only gave me the number transferred from, so not her number. So if anybody knows Frederica Freyer and you want to have her, shoot me an email, tim@wbsm.com. Maybe we can have her pop on the program. Now, it is a day off for kids from school today because it is Juneteenth. So it's actually a federal holiday. So you're going to have the post office closed and the registry closed and all that. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of businesses that are closed today. Just keep that in mind when you're heading out. And we can talk about Juneteenth if you'd like. But I'm sure, you know, high school kids are sleeping in. They've only got one more day anyway. And then they can sleep in for the whole summer. But it seems like it was a successful walkout for them. There was over 100 kids that participated. And they were able to go out, make their point, go back to class. Which is what this was all about. Not going home early, not walking out and walking off school grounds, not getting out of doing any work because as part of it, any work they missed during that hour or so that they were out, they had to make up. But again, I don't think they were really doing anything because it was the second to last day of school. More specifically, it was after lunch on the second to last day of school. And as I was joking with Chris McCarthy, you know, when I was in school, that's when they would show us Born Free and then we'd play Heads Up, 7-Up. It just wasn't a busy time. And in fact, it was kind of anticlimactic once I got to high school because we had finals and kids could leave after their finals were over if their parents had signed the permission slip. And so there really wasn't a big goodbye at the end of the year. It was just kids left as they finished. You know, I've got another final. Sorry. All right, I'll see you later. You know, like, and in those days, you didn't really have a way to keep in touch with your friends if you didn't have their phone numbers or if they weren't going to be home to answer their phone. So anyway, there wasn't a lot of work that was being missed anyway. So last night, I was here late. I worked until almost 7 o'clock last night. And I left here and I had just got a DVD. I guess it's a Blu-ray. but it's the 4K edition of the original Amityville Horror. So I said, you know what? I'm going to watch this tonight. Going to unwind for a little bit. It's been a long day. It might keep me up a little bit later than I thought I was going to be up because, you know, it's not a short movie, but it's not too long either. And so, first of all, like, I'm sold on these 4K movies, but not enough to spend a lot of money on them. I got this one from, there's a company who is doing all these 4K transfers, and they had a big clearance sale, and so I got this thing for like $9.99. So I was, you know, it's one of my favorite movies, certainly one of my favorite paranormal cases, so I figured it was worth it. And it was an experience. You know, that's what I like about seeing these movies on this upgraded quality is you see things in the film that you might not have noticed before. And so it was enjoyable to watch, but I'd also posted, you know, on social media, like, this is what I'm watching tonight. And a friend of mine said, well, Chris Balzano, who was a longtime part of Spooky South Coast, said, you know, you're pretty brave watching that unless the curse is over. And for those who don't know, because someone sent me a message and saying, what's he talking about? So on Spooky South Coast, we talked about the Amityville case a number of times. Like I said, it's one of the stories that I'm obsessed with. Whether you believe that this house was haunted or not, you know, this was a major moment in pop culture. Both the Lutz story, then the book, then the movie. And of course, the DeFeo story before that. And so I've always been fascinated by it since I picked up the Amityville Horror paperback and bought it for a quarter at Dick and Ellie's Flea Market in Mashpee. And really, I'd seen the movie before that, but I didn't realize it was a true story until I read the book. And I tried to reread the book a couple of years ago. It's horribly written. But as a, you know, 10 or 12 year old, whatever I was, like, I didn't know that. So we talked about it quite often on Spooky South Coast, and things would happen. Things would go wrong. Music would stop playing on the computer, or recordings would get messed up, or the computer would fire off on its own, which a lot of that was, you know, our fault, technical error on our end. But sometimes you scratch your head and said, I don't know how that happened. And then years later, Chris made the acquaintance of Jackie Barrett, a psychic medium from New York, who they met through the Lizzie Borden house. But then later, because she comes from a voodoo background, her mom was a voodoo priestess, and so she became kind of known as someone who helped people deal with darker energies. Ronnie DeFeo, the convicted Amityville murderer, the young man who was convicted of killing his entire family, reached out to her for spiritual help and guidance. And so she started working with Ronnie as his spiritual advisor, basically trying to help him. You know, I think she thought at first she was just helping him face the facts that he did this. And, you know, after years of making up all these different stories, and I think she was trying to help him kind of overcome that so he could be at peace with it while he's in prison. But it didn't work out that way. It seemed like he had some sort of evil attached to him. And so he wanted to tell his story, and they wanted to write a book. And they asked Chris if he would write the book with them, because Chris has a number of books published. And Chris was like, well, you know, I've got a lot going on in my life right now. I don't know if I have time to start another book, but Tim has always been fascinated with the case, and he's written a book. So, you know, he'd be somebody you could work with. And so I had some preliminary discussions with them about it, with Jackie. And I thought we were going to go forward with the project. And then she messaged me one day and said, hey, just so you know, I'm going to write the book myself. I don't want to involve somebody else. I said, okay, that's fine. Like, I was a little disappointed, but, you know, it's also a lot of work. So she ended up writing the book with Ronnie. And then we were going to have her on Spooky to talk about it. And as part of that episode, we were trying to make arrangements with the warden of the prison where he was being held to have him join the program, even if just for a little bit. And anybody who's ever, you know, had someone they know that's in prison, you know, it's not an easy thing to set up communication like that. And certainly from a media perspective, you know, it's not easy. So eventually the warden's office got back to us and said, you know, we're sorry. Ronnie's already used up his allotted media appearances for this year. You know, we can't grant your request. So I was a little bit disappointed, but it from a technical perspective, it made it a lot easier not to have one guest on the phone from New York and then another one connecting from a prison facility in New York. And so, it, you know, made for a smoother discussion on the air. And I mentioned on the air about how Ronnie was going to join us, but they said that he couldn't. And Jackie kind of interrupts and says that Ronnie has a message for me. And I was like, Ronnie DeFeo, the Amityville murderer, has a message for me? And she's like, yeah, she said, you should stop looking into this because it is looking back at you. And that kind of, you know, freaked me out a little bit in the moment. But then I was like, yeah, well, what's going to happen? Years later, I get the opportunity to be part of a documentary about Amityville. And you can watch it on Tubi. It's called Famously Haunted Amityville. And they brought us down to Amityville to film there. And I got to see the house with my own eyes for the first time. And I got to spend significant time outside the house. Could not get inside because the new owners didn't want to let us inside to film. But we had permission to be outside on the street. And we conducted some paranormal experiments from there as best we could. And very much, you know, a surreal experience. One weird thing that happened is I was driving. We had rented an SUV to drive down in. That's what the production company did. Rather than fly us to Long Island, they said, we're going to rent you a nice, comfortable SUV. And so I was driving, and I said to Stephanie Burke, who was with me, and she's also in the documentary, I said, I want to go find where the bar was that Ronnie DeFeo ran into when he supposedly found his family dead. And so we went to, like, this strip mall at the end of the street, at the end of Ocean Avenue. And I said, well, I'm going to go into this seafood restaurant and ask where this was. And so I went in and I asked him, I said, would you know where that bar used to be? I know it's not here anymore, but would you know where it used to be? I'm trying to just find it, you know, on an Amityville tour here. And they're like, yeah, you're standing in it. And what's funny is we pulled into the plaza and there was a lot of spaces open. There was a convenience store. I could have gone in there. There was another business. I could have gone in there. But I pulled into the seafood restaurant and the space in front of it and walked in. And it turns out I was in the very exact spot where that bar was. It was where the seafood restaurant was in the middle of the strip mall. So I thought that was a little bit strange. But anyway, I don't. There's no curse. At least not anymore. Stephanie said that if there was something in that house and she doesn't know if she thinks 100% that there was, it's not there now. She thinks that it went with Ronnie to prison and likely went away when he died. So that's my Amityville curse story for the one person that asked me, and I said I would address it on the show. Basically because that was a long thing that I didn't want to type out. At 11 o'clock at night. Well, if you have any questions about that, 508-996-0500. Today is Thursday, which means we will have our brain freeze question of the week, our McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream brain freeze question of the week during the Gen X Files, which will be coming up after the 7:30 news. It's also the second to last day to enter to win Cyndi Lauper tickets. It is her final tour, her farewell tour, and is the final leg of her farewell tour. So this is likely your last chance to ever see Cyndi Lauper. So you can enter to win that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. They are the sponsors of all of our ticket giveaways here on the show. And I can tell you, we're not giving them away today. We have to figure out where in the schedule we're going to give them away, probably later in the summer or early in the fall, because the show isn't until October. But we just got word, and they've just gone on sale. So I think they go on sale to the general public today at 10 a.m. But we are going to be giving away tickets to see the B-52s and Devo at Xfinity. So I'm very excited about that because I get to play a lot of B-52s and Devo to help promote that contest when we do run it. So that's just one of the many, many shows that we have coming up to give away tickets to, including, just to give you a rough idea of what we've got Doobie Brothers, one of our most popular every year. We've got Shinedown. We've got My Chemical Romance at Fenway. Trying to think of what else. But we've got stuff packed all the way through July, August, September, and now into October. So just keep entering, and you might be one of the lucky winners. And it's all brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. All right, let me take a break here. When we come back, we'll get the news from Mike, and then we can talk with you at 508-996-0500.
Your friends that stand around to watch you crumble as you fall to the ground, and then someday.
And welcome back in. That, of course, is Candlebox, Far Behind. And we are going to go, so that we don't fall too far behind, into the news right now with Mike Roberts. And on the other side of that, we can talk with you, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. I'd especially be interested in hearing from any parents whose kids might have taken part in that protest, that walkout at New Bedford High School. Seemed like the kids, you know, were well informed about why they were walking out, unlike the way it was portrayed by some people here calling in about it and talking about it. So as I said, you were going to hear a lot of stuff that wasn't true. And certainly that was the case. So 508-996-0500. We'll be back right after Mike gives us an update on all of the top stories of the day.
The Iran-Israel conflict continues to rise. A new law banning gender transition care for minors and interest rates remain unchanged.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The State Department is warning Americans not to travel to Iran. The warning was issued Tuesday as the airstrikes have been escalating between Israel and Iran. Members of Congress in both parties are looking to limit U.S. involvement in the conflict. Protests took place last night in several cities, including Boston, New York City, and Washington, D.C., to push back against any U.S. involvement in the conflict. Organizers say if President Trump orders strikes to take out Iranian nuclear facilities, the work could be escalated to dangerous new heights around the world. The Federal Reserve is leaving interest rates unchanged, marking the fourth straight time the central bank has kept rates steady.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell spoke after the decision.
We believe that the current stance of monetary policy leaves us well positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments.
Rates will remain high and hover between 4.25% and 4.5%. Mortgage rates are near 7%, and the average credit card rate is north of 20%. President Trump has been pressuring Powell to cut rates. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The organizers of the No Kings protest say the next nationwide demonstration will take place next month.
The people behind the recent No Kings Day, where millions came together opposing President Trump's military parade, are hosting another action day called Good Trouble Lives on July 17th. This day honors civil rights activist and Georgia Congressman John Lewis, who passed away on this date in 2020. Lewis, who coined Good Trouble, served 17 terms in Congress, was an original freedom rider, and marched with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on multiple occasions. I'm Liz Kennedy.
The Supreme Court ruling in favor of a Tennessee law that bans gender transition care for minors. In what is being viewed as a major setback for transgender rights, the 6-3 ruling from the court will likely cause widespread impact as 24 other states have similar laws to the one in Tennessee. Chief John Roberts wrote, "The Tennessee law isn't a form of sex discrimination. That would be a violation of the 14th Amendment." New York City's first wine window is now open in Times Square. Here's Kristen Marks.
The Italian city of Florence is known for the Bucchette del Vino. They go back to the 16th century when winemakers would sell flasks of wine through small arched openings, often built into the facades of historic buildings. The idea was to avoid having to open for business and pay taxes, but they later became a safe way to sell wine when the plague struck in the 17th century. Now, New Yorkers and visitors alike can get wine slipped through an Italian-themed window that's set up on Broadway between 43rd and 44th Streets, along with items like espresso, gelato, and paninis.
Tomorrow will be the longest day of the year. The summer solstice falls on June 20th in the U.S. and the 21st in Europe. Tomorrow, the Earth will achieve its maximum tilt towards the sun, allowing for more hours of sunlight in the northern hemisphere and kicking off the summer months. The closer you get to the North Pole, the more extra sunlight you'll enjoy. Residents in Fairbanks, Alaska, for instance, will see nearly 22 hours of daylight. In the southern hemisphere, tomorrow will mark the winter solstice, making it the shortest day of the year.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox beat the Mariners yesterday afternoon in Seattle 3-1. Red Sox are off tonight and will take on the newly traded Rafael Devers and the Giants tomorrow night at 10:15.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
The heat and humidity will continue to build throughout the day. It will be partly cloudy, temperatures in the low 80s by the coast, mid to upper 80s closer inland. With the humidity, it will feel like the low to mid 90s. You could see a stray thunderstorm later this afternoon into this evening. Overnight lows tonight down to about 68. Tomorrow, a little less humid, a light breeze and more sunshine, temperatures around 83. The weekend looking rather sunny, just a few clouds on both Saturday and Sunday with a high near 80. Things begin to really heat up at the start of next week on Monday. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
That, of course, is The Tubes, a very very strange music video. But then again, weren't many music videos strange back in the 1980s? You know, whatever you could do to get people to talk about and remember your video, I guess. So you heard the, well, we can get back into the news in a little bit. But I want to go back to the protest at the high school first, so I don't mix up my trains of thought. But I was saying before the break that, you know, whenever there's kids wanting to protest something at school, the misconception is that, well, these are just kids trying to get out of class. These kids don't know what they're talking about. These kids are being influenced by the adults. And that wasn't the case. As I mentioned before, I talked to one of the co-organizers of this. And she was very clear in that, you know, the students were motivated to do this. Now, you can say, well, you know, the kids don't understand everything that's involved with it. And I think that's a fair statement. I think that the kids don't understand necessarily. And I talked with this with the young lady that a lot of the things that this resolution would solidify are things that the district already practices as policy. They don't ask students about immigration status. They don't share that information with ICE. They're not letting ICE walk into the building and grab kids up. Not that they're doing that anyway, but they're not. Like a lot of these things that people are concerned about are already part of the district policy. And it's not because they are sheltering immigrants and being a sanctuary for immigrants. They're doing it because those things would be disruptive to the school environment and would go against the school's directive to educate every student in the city, regardless of their immigration status. That's what the school is tasked to do. That's what they get the state funding to do. So all of this stuff is kind of baked into what the school policy already is. This resolution with, you know, some changes here and there, but was basically looking to reaffirm that. And that's why that other language is why some of the school committee members had an issue with it. Mayor Mitchell, as the chair ex officio of the school committee, didn't want to vote in favor of it because it hadn't been looked at from the legal side of things. And he wasn't going to vote on something that hadn't been looked at from a legal perspective, which makes sense. You're dealing with something that will affect the policy that you're saying you have for dealing with federal law enforcement. So this is going to come back up in the school committee again in August. And maybe they'll have answers to those questions or tweaks to the language where there were concerns. And maybe the kids don't understand the intricacies of that. But even if the resolution isn't passed, it looks like they're just looking for the adults to come forward, the school committee to come forward and say, of course, we want to protect kids. Of course, you don't have anything to worry about. Nobody's coming in and snatching up kids from the classroom. Nobody is disrupting your school day. Nobody is putting anyone in danger during the school day. And they're just looking for those assurances because there's a lot of immigrant children in New Bedford schools, whether it's the student themselves or friends of the student. And so there's a heightened anxiety right now. And as they say in the New Bedford Light piece, you know, it may not be that this stuff is happening at school, but it's certainly happening to their classmates at home. So this, they're just looking for assurances from the adults. So I don't know, you know, what would have made them happy as a result of the walkout. Like I said to the co-organizer, I said, you know, what's your goal here? And it was just to let the school committee know how they feel so that when it comes up for a vote again, you know, maybe more of the school committee vote in favor of it. And as I was saying, maybe more will if they tweak some of the language and have it reviewed by legal and, you know, satisfy some of the concerns that people had. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. Do you remember that, could you call it a miniseries, the Rose Red movies about the mansion in Seattle?
Yeah, the Stephen King series.
Yes.
I don't remember it exactly, but I did watch it when it came out. And I think I read the book, too. The book came out after the miniseries.
Right, yeah. It was The Diary of Emily Rimbauer. Mm-hmm. I looked for a book called Rose Red, and I could not find it. So I guess you couldn't answer my question, but there's a character in the films, in the story, named Emery, who's just a petulant, like, man-child. And I'm trying to remember if there was any sort of character arc toward the completion of the film where, you know, he kind of came out of his anger and managed to be helpful with the group, with all the stuff they were going on, kind of like a heroic arc. And I'm just curious. I don't know if anybody else has seen it, and if they recall if he had that character arc where he came out of his thing or not. That's it. That's all I got this morning.
Well, does that relate to anything that we're talking about, or?
I don't know. I don't know. Emery is an interesting character, and he's just miserable. And, you know, he's got mom issues and stuff. And
so
I couldn't remember if he came out of it or not. That's all. Well, I'll let you go. Have a good day.
I don't know what you're subtly trying to allude to there, but let me introduce you to something called Google. You could just look that up instead of whatever kind of subtle suggestion you were trying to make there, because nobody got it and nobody thought that it was as witty as and insightful as you thought that it was. Let's take a break. We'll be back. 508-996-0500. And that is Bandido by The Refreshments. And The Refreshments are probably best. I mean, that was like their big hit song. But they're probably best known as the band that performed the King of the Hill theme song. So that was them performing the theme song of King of the Hill. And that show is getting, I guess you'd call it a reboot, but they're calling it a 14th season. King of the Hill will be back on Hulu on August 4th. And the original voice cast, at least the folks who are still alive, are going to be part of it. Obviously, you know, Tom Petty, Brittany Murphy, and Johnny Hardwick have all passed away. And then the gentleman whose name I can't remember who played John Redcorn, you know, that was a pretty high profile thing a couple weeks ago. But other than that, well, actually, some of them recorded stuff before their passing. But other than that, it's going to be the original cast back together. And so that'll be August 4th on Hulu if you are a fan of King of the Hill. And this takes place as time has passed. So, you know, Bobby's all grown up now. And so there'll be different things for them to navigate, and certainly, you know, it's a different world now than it was when that show premiered in terms of how Hank Hill will fit into it. So it should be fun to see. Mike Judge did a great job with bringing back Beavis and Butthead. It wasn't the same for me because they don't have the music videos to parody, which was always my favorite part of Beavis and Butthead anyway, as the stuff they'd say about the music videos. And they can't do that as much anymore because there's not as many music videos. So they started doing it with like reality TV, and then they started doing it with some other stuff. And it just doesn't feel the same. Like, that's why I never really went back and watched Beavis and Butthead too much on like on-demand services. I would watch it on YouTube where people had uploaded like original VHS tapes that had the music video part. Because when they uploaded it to like Paramount Plus and all that, they just had this, you know, the story part of the episode, not them talking about the videos, which, you know, I still remember what they said about a lot of videos. I still say the same things when I hear those songs or see those videos. So, but yeah, King of the Hill, August 4th, only on Hulu. So, and Hulu's got a great library of stuff if you are looking to pay for a streaming service. I know, you know, it can get pricey having all of these different services, but I think that one's got the, if you're looking for shows that you like to watch in the past that you can't find on some of the free ones, usually they end up on Hulu. I'm sure I will tune in. Hulu brought back Animaniacs a couple years ago, and that turned out to be very well done. It was actually even more for adults than it was back in the 90s, and that's probably because they knew that it was 90s kids growing up that were going to watch it. So, and I'm sure you'll have a lot with King of the Hill. I remember King of the Hill debuted after the Super Bowl that the Patriots played the Green Bay Packers in, right? So that's, they gave it a pretty coveted spot, debuting after the Super Bowl. And it didn't disappoint. I didn't keep up with it in the later seasons, but in the early seasons, I pretty much watched it every week. Back when I used to have to videotape stuff with a VCR and a timer and then record over it. I remember when cable first, when Comcast cable first came into Wareham, I was one of the first houses to get it because of where we lived at the time. They started out in this like remote area, and I lived in this house on the water way out in Great Neck. And so they gave it to us like amongst the first people and then worked their way into the more populated areas. And so I had Comedy Central before all my friends did. So I used to have to record South Park because this is when South Park came out. I had to record it every week onto a VHS tape, and then it would get passed around to all my friends to watch. And then I would get it back on Wednesday morning, and then I would record the new episode on it. And so that's what we did for quite a while until everybody else started to get Comedy Central too. And I wish I'd held on to those tapes. VHS tapes are making a comeback. Anyway, I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. With a knife to-